Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
What a shot, Stan. We blow that thing out of the water every week.
That's our desire here. This is Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle. And just like that word implies, Sink the Beagle, we are trying to point out the fallacies, the weaknesses, and the arguments behind the subject of evolution and evolutionism.
And why we call ourselves Sink the Beagle is because all these ideas came into the head of the Sir Charles Darwin, yes, as he sailed on the HMS Beagle, which was the name of his boat. And so we want to sink the boat and the ideas that were formulated as a result of that long three-hour tour, than 3 hour tour.
Yes, and we do it in a lighthearted way in case you haven't noticed, and that is how we enjoy doing things. Well, John, today I want to talk about, well, it's the issue that all young people deep down in their hearts want to really know, and that is, where does spinach come from?
Where does spinach come from?
Yes.
How about broccoli, turnips, and parsnips?
I mean, doesn't God love us? Didn't he make good things for us? Why did he make spinach?
If he called it, how could he call it very good and still have broccoli and spinach on my plate to eat?
Exactly. And why not nachos and other things?
Well, actually, Stan, how come they don't have a taco tree?
Taco tree. That's right.
The whole point, Stan. Actually, there is an origin of spinach, and there is an origin of potatoes and tomatoes and all the things that are kind of for kids. So, and we want to look at that origin today. It actually was not God's intention, boys and girls listening in. If you're a mother with little children, you might have plugged their ears, because it was not God's intention, boys and girls, for you to have to choke down that spinach and carrots and broccoli and cauliflower.
Preach it, John.
It was never his. That was not part of his original creation. The Bible says so.
Well, now, not part of his original creation. How many creation accounts are there?
Well, actually, Stan, there's only one creation account.
But haven't they said there's two?
Well, some think that Genesis 2 is a second account, and they want to put billions of years in the gaps there, and some theologians want to do that. But really, there is a good reason for the second kind of telling of the account, because the writer of Genesis, Moses, is preparing the hearer of the story of the origins for the question, if God made a perfect world and caused it very good, how come there's spinach?
Yeah, now that's right. Genesis, again, written by Moses under God's inspiration, was to me a book of beginnings. It would record where things came from. It records where the world came from, where people came from, where Israel came from, where pain and suffering and death came from.
And where spinach came from.
And right closely related to that last topic.
Pain and suffering and death is spinach. If you're a child, you can relate 100%. To this lesson. Anyway.
Okay. So let's take a look then at the account, the biblical account.
Well, actually, Stan, when you finish chapter 1, it ends with things like, and God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good, and evening and morning were the sixth day, and then it records the creation of the seventh day, the Sabbath, and there's where we get our week, where that's where the week comes from, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, and he had rested from all of his work, which he created and made, and he goes, wonderful.
Okay, so and then that's the creation account.
Yeah, and then Genesis 2:4. Says something kind of weird.
What does it say?
In Genesis 2:4 and 5, it talks about the Lord had finished everything he made, the heavens and the earth. And in verse 5, it goes on to say that there were some things he had not yet made.
Now, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground.
So we have four things here. Okay. That Lord had not yet made. He had not yet made the herb of the field, is what some versions have, the plant of the field.
Okay.
He didn't make man to till the ground.
Okay.
And he didn't make rain. upon the earth.
Now, wait a minute. I thought man was just created on that sixth day, just a couple of verses before.
You know, some scholars would like to evolutionary or theistic evolutionary scholars, those who believe in the Bible but also believe in the theory of evolution, would like to say, aha, that's where you might have had a pre-man, then the next man.
There were the ook, eek, kind of ape men dragging their knuckles around.
Didn't quite make it, so God had to start over again, and he had to make some people that were a little more agriculturally skilled.
Yeah, a man for the ground. I mean, you know, an earthy man.
Neanderthal man.
And also the herb of the field and the plant of the field. Now, what are those?
Actually, Stan, it's interesting. We need to go into a very... word studies. Word studies help you understand what those words might be.
Actually, Hebrew word studies?
I mean Hebrew. For those of you who don't have a chance to do Hebrew word studies, if you buy yourself, like, say, a Strong's Concordance, or that's probably one of the better ones.
Bible Dictionary, even.
Bible Dictionary on some of these things will help you. Mm-hmm. And you look up the words there in the text and you find out the keywords, and you find that there's interesting nuances in these words in the Hebrew language.
Okay, let the earth... Now, Genesis 1, 11, and 12 say, and that's the third day of creation, the original account, says, let the earth produce vegetation, and the Hebrew word there is deshe, seed-bearing plants, and it's esev matsri.
According to its kind.
Okay, according to its kind.
And fruit-bearing trees. With seeds.
Pre-azapri.
Yeah, okay. All before the time, you know, all according to its kind.
It's seed according to its kind. Yeah.
However, in Genesis 2:5, on the other hand, prior that there was no, it says, of shrub of the field, the siaha sadeh.
Okay.
Or no plant of the field, the esev ha sadeh, had not yet sprung up.
Okay, so shrub of the field and plant of the field had not yet come. So what happens? Why didn't God make those? And what is, incidentally, a shrub or plant of the field?
We won't try to wrestle with those Hebrew words again. Actually, botanists have wrestled with those words and began to find them in other places in the Bible and comparing what words are being used there.
Okay.
The sia is a plant adapted to dry or desert environments and is 99.9% most likely to be a spiny or thorny plant. When the little kids were running in the yard and they'd step on a picker, they'd go, oh, where did that picker come from, Mommy?
Where did that sia come from?
Yep, that's what they would say.
All right.
And they'd go on, and there are more than 70 species of spiny plants that grow in the flora of Israel today. And actually, 20 of these are mentioned, they believe, in the scriptures.
Okay.
These are the plants that can live in dry desert climate, but were not intended by God originally, apparently, to be in this world.
Because there wasn't any dry desert climates for them to grow in.
Not at this time.
This is before the flood. This is in the beautiful Edenic world that God had made that was perfect and lush and green and watered by not rain, but by a mist that came up every morning.
So there was no, in a sense, noxious weeds.
Weeds, that's what this is.
Weeds.
This is the origin of weeds. Well, when did weeds come in?
Well, weeds come in at the same time as also the plants of the field.
Okay, what's the plants of the field?
Now, in the plants of the field, the full expression, the esev hasadah, was found only in Genesis 2:5 and in Genesis 3:18. And they apparently are specifically designed for food for Adam, that Adam will have to eat as a result of sin. This is the post...
Genesis 3:18, that's part of the curse of the world.
That's the post-sin diet. Spinach is part of the curse of the world.
That stuff that grows in the field, Adam.
The carrots.
You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to till the soil.
The beets. The rutabaggies.
By the sweat of your brow, you're going to get spinach.
That's right. Oh, Lord, help us all.
A double curse.
A double whammy on Adam and his descendants.
Okay, so actually vegetables in the sense of a field-growing annual, something that dies. And remember, one of the things to remember in all this, John, is that prior to sin, nothing died. Including in the plant world, nothing died. Everything was green and lush.
And the trees were just perennial reproducers.
So things didn't just kind of flourish and then conk out, you know, some flower as an annual or anything. Didn't just grow and then die.
Rutabaggy stand.
So some of these things.
Rutabaggies.
Okay.
They need to die. They still need to die. And never be born again.
Create the world and no more rutabaggy. Well, maybe a different kind. But anyway. So the plants of the field talking about vegetables, and the herbs of the field talking about spiny whatevers.
Thorny plants.
The weeds.
The thistle.
All these came in at the same time as a result of sin. Part of the result that the world would see a change in its makeup. The climates would change, certainly.
Things are going to change, folks.
Things are changing because of sin.
And the third thing that was not made in the first account of creation was man to till the ground, because man did not have to till the ground. He did not have to work for the sweat of his brow.
Exactly.
All he had to do was tend the garden. And so that's why the man to till the ground did not come in until the fall. And, of course, the last one was rain.
Rain. Of course, rain didn't come until, and that's why Noah's preaching fell on deaf ears for some people. What's rain? God's going to bring rain on the earth and flood the earth. Sure,
Noah. Yeah. What thorny plants have you been walking over last night? You know,
exactly. And so rain, all of these things had not yet happened. So when we're talking about the second creation account, starting in Genesis 2, verses 4 and 5, so-called second account, it's really a description of kind of an anticipation of how things would change once sin came into the picture.
Because first of all, you have these things that are not. Mm-hmm. Then you're given a beautiful picture of Eden. You're given the story of the creation of Eve and the first relationships, setting you up finally for the story of what went wrong. Where did that spinach come from, Mama? Ick! I don't like it.
Now, I want to say one thing real quickly that's a little bit of a sidebar on vegetation itself. And you know, scripture is clear that vegetation was created on the third day, but that there's been changes in vegetation in the world because of sin. Mm-hmm. Well, the fossil record is interesting in the vegetation world, John.
Mm-hmm.
You know that evolutionists have long told creationists, if you just stuck to the fossil record for vegetation, you would have us, because there is no record of changing of plants or trees or anything in the vegetable world into something different.
They find in the fossil record all the ancient plants are still around today or have representatives on this earth.
They've even recently found a grove of 20 trees in Australia.
Oh, good day, mate. Where in the rainforest down there?
The rainforest north of Sydney, they found a grove of 20 mature trees.
They call them living type.
Living fossils. They thought they were extinct. They have fossils exactly like those leaves from that tree.
Oxymoron, living fossil. How can you be living and fossilized at the same time?
That's exactly right. So the vegetable world has not changed so much since the fall. There is not evidence of evolution, particularly very much. There are still sequoias. There are still fig trees. There are still all the same kinds of trees that supposedly grew millions, hundreds of millions of years ago. According to fossil record, it ain't so. The only changes that ever came, John, were when Adam and Eve fell and the world was changed physically. And even when Cain slew his brother Abel, part of the sin consequences was that the world would even be more difficult to get a living
for the descendants of Cain.
That's right.
He became the first street person, homeless vagabond.
Homeless vagabond, that's exactly right. So anyway, what we see in Scripture is that God created a beautiful world with lush vegetation.
You know, that's what it says in our torpedo text today, doesn't it? We say in Genesis chapter 1, God said, I made it this way, folks. Uh-huh. God looked at all that he had made. Behold, it was very good.
Very good.
It was very good. God wanted us to have a very good world, not a world that is scarred, dying, and reminders of not only will that plant end, but so will you.
Right, exactly right. So thorns and thistles for even, oh, dare I say, spinach
and carrots.
We're not meant in the part of the original.
So kids, but kids, you still need to eat your vegetables. You cannot take a Stan and John as saying that we give you permission not to eat your vegetables. You listen to your mom. They know what's good for you.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. If you have comments, questions, or requests for Dr. John or Dr. Stan, you can email them at hudahoe@mindspring.com. That's hudahoe, H-U-D-A-H-O, @mindspring.com. Be sure to listen in next time to Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.